We're excited to be worshiping with you today. As we head into the message time, I invite you to open your prayer and action guides, pull out the green sheet that says sermon notes and response card. This is meant to be a two-way communication tool. There's a spot where you can jot down scriptures and ideas from the message. Then at the end, I'd love to hear what God is saying to you so we can pray for you and support you on the journey. As we get ready for the message, just another word of welcome. We want to connect with our church family, and there's a couple of cards in front of you that can help us do that. If you came in here with a prayer on your heart, fill out the yellow card. Let us know. If you'd like to be involved in any way, fill out a blue card. And if this is your first time with us, we'd love the chance to welcome you. Please fill out the salmon card. You can take that to our front desk, and they'll exchange it for a coupon to the cafe, just as a way of saying thanks for worshiping with us today. So glad to be with you. As we head into the message now, I invite you to pray with me. God, we come here today from all sorts of different places, with all sorts of different things on our minds and on our hearts. So we ask you to do what only you can do. Reach us where we're at. Transform us by your grace so that no one leaves this place the same as we came in. We pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Explore God has been a remarkable journey. We joined with over 850 churches in the Chicagoland area to address seven of the biggest faith questions. In the video, you saw the six questions that we've covered already. I'll set up the seventh and final question with a story. A few weeks ago, I found a book in my church mailbox. I don't know where it came from or who put it there. The title read, Seven Perfect Steps to Success. Now, normally, I'm not really interested in titles like that, but something drew me to open the book and read it. The book outlines principles from the Bible about leadership and goals. I actually found it quite helpful. The author mentions that he's a mentor and a coach. Several times throughout the book, the author invites readers to reach out, even gives his email. I was intrigued by the offer. He's been trained in seminary and business, has years of ministry experience. I thought it'd be kind of neat to enter into a mentor relationship with this person. I considered reaching out, but then I hesitated. In my mind, the idea sounded kind of preposterous. I mean, this guy's written many books. He owns many companies. He leads a thriving coaching organization. To think he would want to have a relationship with me seemed like a stretch. And even if he did, how would it be possible? He lives all the way out in the East Coast. Nevertheless, I thought, man, at least it's worth a shot. I sent him an email. To my surprise, he wrote back. We set up a video conference. During our conversation, it appeared that he was interested in getting to know me and in having a mentor relationship. But I was waiting for the catch. You know, right? There's always a catch. And he told me that his coaching organization usually charges clients $30,000. I almost laughed out loud. $30,000? There is no way. Before I could politely end the conversation, he added one more thing. He said, I have a heart for pastors, and so there will be no cost for you. I could hardly believe it. But he was telling the truth. We picked an online platform, and we've already started meeting, reading, working on goals together. It's been a blast. I tell you that story to set up our seventh and final question for this series. Can I know God personally? The idea sounds kind of preposterous, doesn't it? We're not talking about the author of a book. We're talking about the author of all life in the galaxy. To think that God would want to have a personal relationship with us seems like a stretch. And even if God did want that, how would that even be possible? Well, here's the good news. God does want that. And it is possible. At the heart of Christianity is a God who has a heart for you. God loves you and wants to have a relationship with you. There's no catch. It's a free gift. And the whole reason Jesus came to earth was so that everyone who trusts in him could know God personally and enjoy the relationship that we were created for. To gain a better understanding of that good news, we're going to look at a passage from John chapter 10, verses 7 through 16. John is one of the four gospel accounts in the Bible of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. In this passage, Jesus uses the analogy of a shepherd and sheep to describe the close, personal, loving relationship that he freely offers us. If you want to follow along, we're in John 10, verses 7 through 16. I'm reading the New Living Translation. So Jesus explained to them, "I tell you the truth. I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me were thieves and robbers, but the true sheep did not listen to them. Yes, I am the gate. Those who come in through me will be saved. They will come and go freely and will find good pastures. The thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep. A hired hand will run away when he sees a wolf coming. He will abandon the sheep because they don't belong to him and he isn't their shepherd. And so the wolf attacks them and scatters the flock. The hired hand runs away because he's working only for money and doesn't really care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own sheep, and they know me. Just as my Father knows me, and I know the Father, so I sacrifice my life for the sheep. I have other sheep too. They are not in this sheepfold. I must bring them also. They will listen to my voice, and there will be one flock with one shepherd." Since most of us are probably not familiar with the practice of shepherding in ancient Israel, I'll share some background information that adds depth to this analogy. Jesus said, "I am the gate for the sheep." In ancient Israel, shepherds would gather their sheep into a sheepfold at night. It had walls made of stones or branches. The shepherd was the gate. A shepherd would often lay down in front of the doorway at night to sleep. They literally laid in the gap. In this way, they could let their sheep in. More importantly, they could protect their sheep from thieves and predators that sought to do harm. As our gate, Jesus literally laid in the gap for us for exactly the same reasons. To show you what he meant, I'll use another illustration called the bridge diagram. God created human beings in order to be in a close, personal, loving relationship with us. In Genesis 1:26, God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness." And then God blessed people, spent time walking, talking with the people that he made. In short, life was good. But then something happened that messed it all up. Like sheep, we wandered away from our shepherd. We did the opposite of what God told us to do. We acted in ways that hurt God, hurt others, hurt ourselves. And we call that sin. And sin poisoned our world, and it separated us from our perfect, holy God. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Isaiah 59:2, "Your iniquities have separated you from your God." Ever since then, we've tried on our own to close the gap. We've tried everything. We've tried morality, religion, philosophy, education, power, pleasure, fame. We've tried it all, only to find that every one of our own efforts eventually falls short. We cannot cross the gap on our own. Proverbs 14:12 says that there's a way that seems right to man, but in the end it leads to death. That's the bad news. The good news is that Jesus laid in the gap for us. Romans 5:8 says, "But God demonstrated his great love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Out of love, Jesus laid down his life on the cross to pay the punishment for all of our sins so that we could be forgiven and brought back into a right relationship with God. While it cost Jesus everything, it's a free gift for us. Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord." Jesus laid in the gap for us so that he could welcome us back into God's flock, so that he could save us from sin and death and anything else that threatens our relationship with God. It doesn't matter who you are or what you've done, his grace is big enough to save everyone. Romans 10:13, "Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." We call on the name of the Lord by admitting we need his help and asking Jesus to be the Savior and the leader of our life. When we do that, we cross from death to life. John 5:24 says, "I tell you the truth, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life." I vividly remember the moment when I made this faith decision. I was attending a marriage conference. The speaker was talking about how sin robs us of intimacy. He mentioned Adam and Eve and how right after they sinned, they hid. That's what happens. We tend to hide and cover up. And he explained, "You will never have true intimacy with God or with anyone as long as you're hiding sin in your life." This hit me like a train. I so desperately wanted intimacy, but at the time I was hiding a lot of sin and brokenness in my life. I told myself, "I can handle it, I can fix it," but everything I tried failed. I was so scared to open up, because I didn't like how selfish I had become. I didn't like the hurtful things that I had done. And so I feared if I opened up, if I showed people the real me, they would never love me. God would never love me. But I knew I could not keep going down that spiral anymore. And so that night at the conference, I prayed. And I said, "God, I need your help. I can't do this on my own. Jesus, would you save me and lead my life?" I encountered a love that is so much greater than all my sin. And that truly was a turning point in my life. I'm very much still a work in progress, don't get me wrong. But that was the beginning of Jesus opening up the door for deeper intimacy with God, with others. That was the beginning of Jesus reshaping my life so that I could better reflect his love as a husband, father, pastor, child of God. Jesus takes the analogy of a shepherd a little bit further to describe the incredible relationship that God is offering to us. In verse 4, it says, "After the shepherd has gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them, and they follow him because they recognize his voice." Palestinian shepherds didn't drive sheep from behind. They led their sheep from up front. And God's saying, "I will go before you to lead you, to show you the way. I'll be up ahead to lead you away from danger and toward good." And no matter what challenge or difficulty you're going to face in life, I'm already going to be ahead of you. I will be around the bend waiting to help you through. verse 9, those who come in through me will be saved. They will come and go freely and will find good pastures. Like a good shepherd cares for the needs of their flock, God promises to care for our spiritual and our physical needs. I've been reading through the book of Isaiah with my wife for our devotional time. A few days ago, I read a familiar passage that we often hear at Christmas time, Isaiah 9:6. For a child is born to us, a son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. It struck me that each of these names reveals something wonderful we gain access to through a relationship with God. Wonderful Counselor. God offers us divine wisdom. Wisdom that guided the foundation of the universe. Could any of you use some divine wisdom to guide your life? Or how about Mighty God? God offers us power. Power that defeated death and raised Jesus from the grave. Could any of you use some divine power to overcome obstacles in your life? Everlasting Father, God offers us love. Love that would lay its life down for you. Love that not even death can destroy. Could any of you use some divine love filling up your heart? Prince of Peace. Peace that not even the storms, the strongest storms, could shake. Could any of you use some divine peace to anchor you through life's storms? We have access to all of this, wisdom, power, love, peace, through a relationship with God. Jesus makes it clear that we can know God personally. John 10:14, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. I know my own sheep, and they know me. Just as sheep can learn to recognize the voice and the leading of their shepherd, we too can learn to recognize the voice and leading of God in our life. I think about how I can recognize voices. If you've ever been to my office, it's tucked way back from the staff hallway. Often I will hear people speaking outside of my door, but not see their face. Some of the voices I don't recognize, but some voices I recognize right away. These are colleagues, church members that I've spent time with, gotten to know. The same applies in our relationship with God. The more we spend time with God, the more we learn how to recognize God's voice and leading in our lives. Thankfully, God has given us many different ways to know him personally. So I was trying to think about how to communicate it. I thought about the 5 love languages that we talked about in our marriage ministry. If you're not familiar with the marriage ministry, it exists to support engaged and married couples no matter where you're at in your relationship. On March 8th, we have a date night coming up with chili and games, just a chance to have fun. In our last retreat with the marriage ministry, we talked about the 5 love languages. There's 5 basic ways that we can give and receive love. And I think these 5 love languages reveal how we can know God personally. First, words. Last week, we talked about the Bible and how it's God's word in our life. The Bible shows us who God is, tells us what God says. There's lots of wonderful reading plans that can guide us through Scripture. I'd be happy to share some with you. Another form of words is prayer. Prayer is simply talking with God. We can talk to God about anything that's on our mind and on our heart, and we listen for how God responds. This can be tough, though, can it? Because we don't always hear an audible voice back from God. But I do believe that if we seek God in prayer, God will give us ideas or feelings or signs that are undeniable. Share a fun example with you. I've been doing prayer campaigns with my kids. We take a simple prayer and we pray it every day for a week. And pay attention to how God responds. The first prayer is, God, show me you're real. This was a big prayer for my son Because at the time, he was really struggling to believe in God. Well, that week, a member of our congregation, unexpectedly, they had no idea what we were doing, they sent my son a kid's Bible. He opened it up to a page where there was a picture of someone writing a letter, and it said, "From God." Mic drop, right? Wow, words. Another love language is quality time. It really helps to spend quality time with other people who are seeking God, like we do in a small group. We had over 400 people participate in small groups for Explore God. I got to lead a small group for men on Wednesday nights. We all different places in our faith journey. And even for a pastor, it was so refreshing to be honest about our questions and to learn about God together. Acts of service. When we serve, we catch a glimpse of God's heart for the world. We get to experience God working in and through our lives. Last week, our church participated in Feed the Need. Show of hands, how many of you got to be a part of that? Are you ready for it? We packed 1,330,992 meals. Wow. And here's the more important number. This will feed 3,646 children for an entire year. If you were there, man, the environment was electric. It was so neat to hear stories about how God is using the meals we pack to spread hope and help around the world. The last love language, or second to the last love language, is gifts. Giving is a way to know God because God is incredibly generous. God gave his one and only son to save us. And the practice of giving financially to God helps us discover we can actually trust God to provide more than enough for all of our needs. And it shapes us to be more generous like our God. I became a pastor back in 2008. I was at a different church. 2008 was when the economy crashed. Things got so hard at the church that one month I decided to go without a paycheck so that our church could pay the mortgage. My wife and I had set up automated giving every week. Even though we were going to go without a paycheck, we made the decision not to stop our giving. It was a scary leap of faith for us at the time, but God was so faithful. God faithfully provided more than enough for all that we needed, and turned things around in our church. And then the last love language is touch. You might think, how do we touch God? That's what worship is all about. Worship is filled with sensory experiences of God. We have songs, audible expressions of God's truth. We receive communion, tangible signs of God's love and grace. We see smiles, we hear greetings, we feel handshakes and hugs, all sensory experiences of God's living presence in our community. God has provided so many ways for us to know him personally. Words, quality time, acts of service, gifts, touch. We cannot, we must not, however, focus only on our personal relationship with God. Jesus wants us to think about others who may not yet have a relationship with him or be part of the community of faith. In John 10, 16, Jesus said, "I have other sheep too that are not in this sheepfold. I must bring them also. They will listen to my voice, and there will be one flock with one shepherd." Jesus wants all people to have a close, personal, loving relationship with God. That's why he came to earth. And so he calls his followers, you and me, to join the mission to reach out with the good news to all the world. We're heading into the Lenten season. We're going to dive deep into the good news about Jesus. This is a time of year when people tend to be more open to God. Who might you reach out to? Who might you invite? I have a challenge for us this Lenten season with all the services coming up. Here's the challenge. I challenge you to find one way that you can serve and one person you can bring. Can we do that? I don't believe you. Can we do that? One way to serve, one person to bring. I'm in the challenge with you. And you never know. Your invitation might be the very thing that that person needed to come back into a relationship with God. Well, we've covered a lot in this message and a lot in this series. But our hope is that you don't walk away simply knowing about God. We want you to know God personally. This is what God wants, and it is possible. The whole reason Jesus came to earth was so that everyone who trusts in him would know God personally and experience the relationship we were created for. So how is God calling you to respond? Maybe some of you here today are feeling led to trust in Jesus as your Savior for the first time and receive the free gifts that he offers you. If that's you, man, let us know so we can celebrate and talk about next steps. Or maybe some of you are feeling led to renew or deepen your relationship with God through words, quality time, acts of service, gifts, touch. I would encourage you to pick one practical thing that you could work on this week. And perhaps some of you, when I talked about who you can reach out to, God put a name or put a face on your heart. Whatever the response is, write it down on your response card so I can pray for you and support you on the journey. To get our hearts ready for response, Ryan's going to help me share a song with you.
Give me so much. one or the other. It's our truth and ridiculous grace to be known, fully known and loved by you, fully known and loved by you.
At the bottom of your sermon notes is a response card. And I invite you to prayerfully consider how you can respond to the scripture and the message for today. If you put your name in your email, I promise I'll pray for you and write to you. You can put it in the offering basket or hand it to me on your way out. Take some time with God.